watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
And I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and welcome to another episode of Katie Watches Disney. This is our series of episodes in which I tell Katie to watch a popular Disney movie that somehow they have not seen before, despite being a human being who grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. So a little impressive, the number of Disney movies that Katie has not seen. But I'm slowly rectifying that one at a time.
Yeah. Do you want my fun sentence to start this?
What's your fun sentence to start this?
If I had a nickel for every film that involved people crossing the gender expression barrier as warriors, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's fun that it happened twice. In the last 2 days, I want to clarify, in the last 24 hours.
I was going to say, because I feel like there's a lot of movies like that, but what, if you can't tell, dear listeners, the movie that we're talking about today is Mulan. But also, Katie, what other movie did you just see in the past 2 days of a warrior woman crossing the gender barrier?
I take that back. I don't highly recommend this film. I recommend Monkey Man. It's fun. I do have many, many things that I think it could have done better. But also Deb Patel shirtless at one point, so who's to complain?
It's hard to complain about shirtless Dev Patel. I mean, you know, one could, but difficult to explain.
I can't. He works out. He's earned it.
That is a strong boy. You can see that man.
That's what you got, guys.
I agree. But yeah. So Katie has never seen Mulan before.
I hadn't.
This was up in my list of movies I wanted to show Katie. Because, so, like, I feel like when it comes to, like, when people, like, ask, like, oh, what's your favorite Disney movie? Like, I feel like a lot of people have, like, a series of answers. I feel like you have the one that, like, on an objective level is the best. So, like, for me, that's, like, Beauty and the Beast. So, like, just objectively, excellent movie, can't really find a flaw. You can ask, like, what's the one you most enjoy watching? And for me, that's Hunchback of Notre Dame, which we've talked about previously in this segment. And then, you know, you could say, like, oh, like, what was your favorite when you were a kid? And for me, it's Lion King, which we also did. But then I feel like is the also important, what's your favorite Disney princess movie? And for me, like, specifically, like, of the, which of these Disney princesses is your favorite? Like, for me, that's Mulan. Like, I adore Mulan in every way. When I was a kid, she was my favorite Disney princess. She still is. And yeah, I think that's one of many reasons, honestly, why this movie will always have a warm place in my heart. But Katie, since you've now just seen it for the first time, would you like to give a brief summary of the movie for those audience members who maybe like you haven't seen it?
Never. That's my favorite part to have you do. I like listening to you talk about movies.
Yes, but
you get better descriptions than me.
Yes, but for the purposes of Katie Watches Disney, this is me checking that you've done the reading, like our college professors used to.
I did an hour before this.
Well, prove it. Tell me what the movie's about.
Fine. We're in... what era of China is this? I don't remember off the top of my head. We're in the Middle Empire, so it's technically multiple empires at this point. So, fairly early.
Sure.
Okay, but yeah, you've got your main character. I'm so much worse at this than you are. We've got our wonderful main character, Mulan, who is in a, you know, classic Chinese family, living in with multiple generations. You know, you got to live up to the expectations and societal gender norms. Thus, you must find a husband and care for him. The men are the one who make war, you make food. That kind of thing. The Huns invade. They look creepy. They have a hawk, though. I liked that. Mulan's father is not doing so hot, but still is technically conscripted to go to war, because he's the only man in that family, and each family must send one man. Are you enjoying my summary thus far?
I think it's great. No, I think you're giving a good description.
And Mulan goes, well, I hate everything about trying to be a woman in the societal pressures. Why not try to be a man and help my father not die? And thus escapes in the night with some armor. Impressive that was done quietly.
Excuse you, it's not done quietly. It's done to rad 80s synth music in this late 90s movie.
That's fair. Now we're in the army, boys. We do a Pitch Perfect 2 style montage of getting better as a team. I don't know if you've seen Pitch Perfect 2, but that does happen in that movie also.
I've only seen Pitch Perfect 1 and Pitch Perfect 3.
Okay, but 2 has a pretty good work as a team, get strong together. But also, everything's a little gay.
Okay.
And thus, in this moment, Mulan, who's not very good at being a man or war, learns how to be good at war. And we all get pretty southern and climb a lot of trees. And by that, I mean one tree.
It's an important tree, though.
Then, for some reason, Mushu thinks it's a good idea to take us off to war. I forgot about Mushu also briefly. He's here.
He's here.
On his own quest to fulfill himself by being selfish.
It's a typical Eddie Murphy quest.
Yeah, very quotable. But no, we're going to the front line because Mushu says so. And thus we find everyone's dead at the front line. Well, now what are we going to do? There's 10 of us and hundreds of Huns. And they've found us because of Mushu. Mulan is smarter than all these men, shocker, to no one. And causes an avalanche. I'm going full spoilers, I'm realizing.
You're the only one on Earth who has not seen this movie, Katie. I think it's okay.
I'm really enjoying watching you see how well I can describe this movie beat for beat.
I think you're doing great, honey.
Avalanche. Kill Hun. No Kill Hun? Doesn't matter. Mulan woman. We know now. Oh no, what have I become?
I'm really into this.
We're in the Forbidden City now. Woo! Celebrations.
Like Three Stooges briefly there.
We're having a celebration. The Huns are dead, clearly. Oh wait, no they're not. Surprise attack! I do like a hawk stealing a sword. That was a good bit.
Yes.
But now the Huns have the Empire. Emperor, what are we going to do? Who can save us now? Well, but the one and only. I don't think this comes across on video. I was trying to megaphone my voice with a mug.
I know, I sense that. I could tell.
The one and only.
Sort of.
Mulan comes to save the day, knowing the Huns are there. We get in the building. We're cross-dressing now. That was fun.
The day is saved via cross-dressing, yes.
Yep. Yeah, day is saved. Mulan is no longer a disgrace to everyone. And also gets the himbo.
So, yay! It's done!
Yay!
Thank you. That was a very good description of the movie.
Did you like, you liked me, Hun dead?
Hun dead? No, Hun not dead. Some Hun alive. Yeah, I do like Mulan is for sure the Disney princess with the highest body count. Like she has.
Oh yeah, at the end, we've discarded spoilers for this 30-year-old movie.
Okay. If you're worried about spoilers, audience, go see Mulan. What are you doing here?
Get but not the 2021, which I did forget came out.
It's terrible. Don't see that.
You know, most of them are like, you're at war. There's some body count that expected, but at the very end, when Mushu goes to get the fireworks, one of the fireworks to then explode the rest of the fireworks with one firework, he scares off the two people in charge of the fireworks booth, who do jump off the tower.
Oh yeah, they're dead. They're for sure dead.
They're just civilian casualties. That was a war crime.
They chose to jump.
I'm pretty sure it's still a war crime.
I mean, yeah, bro. I think Mulan has done quite a few war crimes along the way. I mean, look, this is ancient China. I don't think they had the Geneva Conventions yet, but I'm pretty sure causing an avalanche that buries the entire army is considered a war crime. So. They were not given the opportunity to surrender. But again, it's ancient China and the Huns are bloodthirsty and brutal. I think they do. I mean, of all the Disney movies, I'm a big fan of great Disney villains, and I would not say that what is it? Shanyun, what is the name of the villain? I don't even remember the name of the main Hun.
He looks
Shanyu. Okay, I was right about that.
Almost a killer whale name.
Or like I was thinking, what is that like Chinese like performance group that like?
So shows... you mean the communist propaganda performing arts group that's also a cult?
Yeah, was it is it Shenya? Yeah, okay, so it does sound very similar.
If you really want to go down a deep rabbit hole, listeners, after this episode, look up how that is communist propaganda cult. It's a ride.
I kind of got to assume that there's some kind of propaganda just because
they're also the fact that they're literally cult.
Everywhere. Yeah. No, I buy that. I buy that. But anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Mulan.
And now our podcast is not allowed in China. Don't think it ever was.
We were never allowed in China for sure. But yeah, I like individually, none of them I think are great Disney villains. Like, and I think the movie knows it. It really does, though, make them seem like an intimidating obstacle. Like, I like the opening scene where you're on the Great Wall of China. Like, I think it's kind of cool to start the movie with just China being invaded. Like, you don't start with our main character. Like, we get to her pretty quickly. But, like, I think they set up the threat really well from the start, that you're just watching this one random guard on the Great Wall of China who is able to set off the warning that the Huns are there before he is strongly implied to be murdered. There's a lot of implied murder in this.
A lot of murder.
I always come back to that one scene where they have like the two scouts, like the two Chinese scouts that are captured by the Huns, and they like send them back, like, you know, tell your army that we're coming for them. And then they like the two scouts are like scampering away. And then Shan Yu is like, how many men does it take to deliver a message? You have your archer like knocking his bow. He's like, just one. And then he fires like off screen. Like, dude, old school Disney, when they knew they couldn't show any of this, did a really good job of implying it in the worst way. Yeah. Or like the doll. I feel like the doll is also just really well done film shorthand. Because. Yeah. We see it as Shan Yu's about to invade this village, and he sees that the doll has been captured, essentially. Like, oh, like, we know there's a village nearby because there's the doll. And he's like, we're going to return this doll to this little girl. And then the next time we see it, it's in the middle of this burned-to-the-ground village, and we, the audience, know that girl is dead. Like, super dead. And they didn't also need to show it.
Not 100% how the Huns did it.
Oh, I'm sure not. I mean, this movie makes the Huns out to be inhuman monsters, which I don't know enough about history, but I'm gonna
go
ahead.
They kill a lot of people, but
I don't think they were good people. But
no one was when you look back.
Right. I can't.
But did often like integrate
that much better.
They integrated when they were in their true expansive period. Did integrate villages. They gave a lot of opportunities for surrender. It wasn't nice, but it's better than dying traditionally.
Right. I mean, murdering absolutely everybody is in general not a great strategic move because it just ensures that no matter what, you're going to die eventually when everyone seeks revenge.
And that's why, if you trace it back, essentially everyone's related to Genghis Khan.
That's the wildest thing in the world to me, but
and frankly, if you go back far enough, yeah, we're all related.
It's true.
It's like so much in evolution.
That's a good point.
Now, unfortunately for you, I know how much you love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be better with nostalgia or not watched by someone who's like one of their favorite areas of international cinema is Asian cinema. Because it is, and you got to put it in the contextual lens of this was made in the 90s.
Yes.
It is a rough, it can be a couple times a rough watch from a modern contextual lens. And also, like, knowing how great films coming out of that area were even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's a good film, it does some things well. Not great historically.
Nope.
None of the writing is accurate Chinese text that makes sense.
Wait, really?
Translated. There were, at least in my brief things, some of it, at least looking at, looked fake. Just
amazing
attempts. Someone translated at least one page of stuff, and it was just like Chinese food restaurant things.
No. Wait, that's like, so funny.
General Tso's and Kung Pao.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Also, I really thought that Hunky Himbo would have a different voice. I didn't feel his voice fit him as much as I wanted it to. It wasn't hunky like or himbo-y enough.
I guess that's fair. I don't know. Part of what I love about this series, Katie, is that it is such a good opportunity for me to hear from someone who doesn't have that nostalgic lens. Because for me, that just is Shang's voice, and I cannot look at that character without hearing a different voice. But you have probably seen his image a lot more than you've heard the voice, and now you're hearing the whole thing for the first time.
I did a couple times go, oh yeah, this is what that's from. Like, some of them I know. Some of them was like, oh, I have heard this audio a lot recently. I forgot this is what this is from.
I do have to ask. So one of my favorite things about this movie is the bangin' soundtrack.
That's the best part of it.
Okay, good. I want to make sure that still holds up at least.
Yeah, well, the first few songs I found just narrative, kind of boring, but fair. I mean, you get one of the best Disney songs in this, so I give it that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll Make a Man Out of You is like, I woke up to that song as my alarm clock all through high school. Like that. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's actively one of your workout songs.
It definitely is. I think it is. It is one of, I think, two Disney songs that are unironically on my workout playlist. The other one being Try Everything from Zootopia, which is also a good workout song.
Yeah, so I give you the soundtrack. Soundtrack, good. And it is a very quotable movie. They wrote it well. Like, dialogue wise, great dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Good comedy beats. I give it that. From the perspective of someone watching it in 2020s, who is this area is one of their interest areas for film,
mm-hmm.
I would say there's a lot of other stuff I would watch if you want kind of good Asian media. But I also it also there's stuff now that it uses it as a base. Like Blue Eye Samurai very much did, like, I'm pretty sure the creators did watch this and went, now what if they showed the murder?
Right. And yeah, I think, you know, for you're right in that for even for the time there was better media that existed out there that was more authentic to the culture that probably
I cut them some slack for at least getting a decent number of Asian actors to voice all Asian cast. There were still a couple too many white people.
Yeah, it was far from perfect, but yeah, for the late 90s, we'll call this a win.
There were less white people than I expected.
Yes, for at least for that, like at least like Mulan, and at least, you know, her main speaking voice, not her singing voice, and same with BD Wong, because it's Donny Osmond as the singing voice for Shang. They made some attempt. You know, it's still Eddie Murphy as Mushu, but at least Mushu's a dragon, so like I guess I can cut it some slack in that, like,
and I mean, they gotta get a good comedic beat in there, and right, he really does kill the comedic beat of voice acting.
He's Eddie Murphy. Like I'd be hard pressed to argue that there is a actor who would have done that role better than Eddie Murphy. Certainly different and maybe just as good, but it's Eddie Murphy. He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say something. Shoot, now
it's well paced.
Oh, yes, I
love a good 90-minute movie.
Quick and to the point. What I was gonna say was, like, even One nice thing about this is, you know, you can absolutely accurately make the argument that it is not excellent representation, and that it was still a lot of white people behind the scenes, you know, voice actors, that it is apparently even more so, you know, kind of just hand wavy about, you know, Chinese culture and history and writing and all those things. I will give it at least the credit that, like, it was a big budget Disney movie that, you know, they could have released a movie set in any era with any people. Oh, and they did choose to adapt an actual Chinese myth and have it be, you know, it's not a white savior story. You know, they didn't, like, Last Samurai this. Like, it is still a story centered around Asian characters, which meant that when, you know, little boys and girls watched a Disney princess movie, they had someone who looked like them and at least was trying to represent their culture. Jury being out on how accurate that was, but to be fair, no one's culture is accurately depicted in a Disney princess movie.
No, so, and
at least that's equal opportunity, yes. I guess.
I am being quite nitpicky, especially I put it in the lens of, like,
their job.
Now there's much better for, like, if you were to ask me to give a young Asian person an animated film to watch from American Animation and big studios, I now have a good handful of films I could go, here you go.
Ooh, right.
This was the one for a while, so.
It, for sure, and it was certainly a stepping stone for
important
a lot of
step. Films. Yeah.
Yes, for sure, and, you know, as a more feminist Disney princess too, you know, one who is, you know, super active. I think one of my, I love Mulan as a character, and I think one of my favorite underrated moments is during the I'll Make a Man Out of You song. Like, up to this point, Mulan has been fighting this because she doesn't want her dad to die, which is fully valid. But, like, she goes to war not because she has, like, a point to prove about, like, her place in the world, and she doesn't want to prove a feminist point. She just very utilitarian. She doesn't want her dad to die. Except over the course of that montage, I really like that she comes into her own and realizes, oh no, actually I do want to do this to prove a point, at least to myself. Because she's offered the chance to go home. Like, Shang comes to her, hands her the reins of her horse, and basically says, get out of here. Like, you have flunked out of boot camp. You are literally not even good enough to be cannon fodder. Go home. And at that point, she can leave with, you know, minimal dishonor because no one knows who she is. She goes back to her family alive, and her dad survives. Like, everything stays the same, except she has to live with that sense of failure. And she is not willing to do that for not for any particular honor, because the dishonorable thing to do is still staying in war and lying. She just wants to prove to herself that she can do it, and she goes out and she can do it. Like, I love that moment. I love that insight into her character, that I like characters whose motivations genuinely change with their character development. I think it's not an easy thing to pull off, and I think a lot of writers forget about that. I think it's very easy to have a character who starts off with a very simple need and have that sort of continue being their through line throughout. I like that Mulan gets to change a little bit in the course of the story and really come into her own. And I like that she fights the final battle in, you know, more feminine attire, but, like, that she's clearly more comfortable in than what she started out. I like that cross-dressing saves the day. Like, I think this movie has a lot of interesting things to say about gender roles without coming across as really preachy about gender roles. I do always wish that in the end, when cross-dressing saves the day, that Shang was also in a dress. I think that would have made the point come across more clearly, but it was the late 90s, and we were okay with having our joke characters dressed like women, but not okay with our hunky man dressing like a woman.
Enjoy my cat trying to kill me in the middle of that.
I was going to say, I was trying not to call attention to the fact that you were losing a battle with your cat.
Well, right now he's meowing at me like he wants attention, but he keeps trying to slap me every time I try to give him the attention he wants.
Wow.
We're all having emotional breakdowns here.
Seeking attention yet pushing it away.
That's very you.
But yeah, so overall it sounds like you have generally low-level positive feelings towards this movie. How does it compare to the other Disney movies I've made you watch?
God, what have you made me watch so far?
I've made you watch Lion King, Great Mouse Detective, Frozen, Hunchback. There might have been
I think
one
it falls in the same category as Lion King.
Okay, that's good
Which
comment.
is, I know these are classics, and I wouldn't, like, I feel like I, and I feel kind of bad that they're less enjoyable if you don't have nostalgia for them.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of going to be the case for a lot of these. But
Hunchback was fun. I enjoyed that one. That was an
Hunchback,
artistic journey.
yeah, Hunchback I think almost works better if you don't have any kind of like nostalgic leanings towards it, because I feel like most kids probably didn't really like enjoy it that much. I think you got to actually be a little older to fully appreciate Hunchback and like know what classical music sounds like.
And I love when Disney gives me a gay villain. Same with Great Mouse Detective.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we got.
Frozen didn't have a gay villain completely. Kind of, but not fully.
No, but we have we can
Mulan
do.
did have gays.
Yes, Mulan has our coded camp gay advisor to Shang, who is with every rewatch, I'm reminded again how gay coded that character was.
And let's all admit it in our hearts. Shang is bisexual and
Shang
he's
is
having
so
some conflicting
bisexual.
emotions.
He loved Ping. He also loves Mulan, but he would have found his way to Ping had he not been revealed to be a she. Also, like, shout out to this movie, I'm pretty sure, for being a defining moment in young me's understanding of how gender works, because I still remember distinctly seeing this movie when I was like 5 or 6, and the scene in which Shang discovers that Mulan is a woman, because she's in the tent, the medical tent, after being gravely wounded in battle, which, again, shout out to this G-rated Disney movie for showing a bloody gut wound.
Yeah, there's blood.
There's actual blood, like, and I love the Disney moment of, like, everything is totally fine, and then, you know, she, like, grunts and, like, sticks her hand on her belly and then is surprised when she sees blood on her hand. Like, what a
Hey,
movie that is. That's only
here's
ever
the thing.
a surprise that they have a gut wound.
Here's the thing. Adrenaline does do funky things to people.
I guess that's fair. I'll chalk it up to the adrenaline. In any case, like, he, like, comes into the tent to, like, see her after, like, the doctors, like, whispered something urgently to Shang, and, like, he comes in, and Mulan sits up, and, like, you see that, like, her chest is all bandaged up, because, again, gaping gut wound, but, like, you see the shape of her breasts, and, like, that's the, like, Shang, like, gasps. And I remember as a kid, like, I remember turning my visit, how does he know she's a girl? And my sisters were like, because she has boobs. And I remember being like, oh, only
Oh.
girls have boobs. Mind blow. Like, it hadn't really occurred to me that that was a secondary sex characteristic. Because I was young. I was a kid. I don't know. Boobs were things that, like, some people had and some people didn't. I hadn't really connected the dots yet because I was a
That's
kid.
fair. This is just a really funny retelling of the story. I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I remember that happening. Similarly, my sisters and I taught each other Morse code as a kid, and the first message that my sister sent to me was, Jasmine has big boobs, because she does have big boobs. So that's two different moments that my sisters have taught me important life lessons using Disney princesses' boobs. It's which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right? As I'm saying, the first one was Mulan and then Jasmine. I lost your voice there entirely, Katie.
Life lesson of the second one. I get the life lesson of the first one.
The life lesson of the second one is that I now know some of Morse code. Not a lot, but at the time I knew more.
Was that the reason you... I don't care. I can't anymore. I'm not going to do this.
It wasn't the reason why we learned Morse code. It's just I just remember that happens to be the first code that I deciphered from my sister. And I guess she thought that was a good, like, a funny thing for me to decipher. Because hey, look, it's like 20 years later and I remember that. So, like,
That's
clearly it
fair.
worked fine.
Did you remember how to do it?
No, definitely not.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay.
You I'm sure do know Morse code. You strike me as
no.
the kind
of Morse code. Well, I know how to do SOS in Morse code, but sometimes I flip it so it comes OSO.
Also.
Yeah.
I feel like if anyone
well, to be fair,
Morse code messages,
you can
they
pretty
don't
easily remember Morse code because it's just like the lines and dots form the letters. So I think A is a long, short, long to make it pop, pop, pop.
I did not know that. That's going to be a use. Well, I can't say it's going to be useful because I never use Morse code.
It would be short, long, short, like dot, dot, dot. Don't know why I know this.
Well, on a non-Morse code note, I think also one very important aspect of this movie that I think should raise it in everyone's esteem is that it really pissed off Mike Pence at the time. Apparently, he wrote an op-ed about how Disney was evil for making girls want to join the military in active combat, because in the 90s, that wasn't a thing women were doing yet. And of course, now lots of female soldiers are seeing active combat, or maybe not lots, maybe lots is an exaggeration, but like it's done now versus the early 90s or late 90s when it was prohibited. So like kudos, it's not every Disney movie that will piss off Mike Pence. I mean, at least not for the time. Now I think all the Disney movies piss off all the Republicans. But good on you. Any Disney movie that can even do that a little bit is A-okay in my book.
Sorry. Da 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 is actually the letter D. I got confused.
Da da da.
And A is just dit da. V is the other one. Ah, dang.
We should do an episode entirely in Morse code.
Sure. We'll buy a machine for it.
I mean, how expensive can a telegraph machine possibly be? Come on.
A working one? I'm sure
too. Working.
I don't know, I just spent too much on a vintage camera, so.
Ooh, nice. But yeah, do you have any final thoughts on this movie now that you've seen it for the first time and you've, you know, whatever hype that exists has, you know, now been either realized or not. Anything else you want to add about this movie that we haven't touched on?
It's the G version of Blue Eye Samurai, and I think I like the R version better.
I think that's fair. It's similarly, as someone who watched Blue Eye Samurai, I thought, oh boy, they made Grown Up Mulan, and I'm happy for it.
Yeah. No, yeah. Fun. I'll make a tier list one day. We'll post it on Twitter.
That would be very interesting. I mean, you realize you're in kind of a unique position here. There's not that many people who can go into these movies, if not blind, close to it. Most of us.
Oh, yeah.
Most of us don't remember the first time we saw these movies. We saw them so early.
The only one I really know I've seen that we would thus will not discuss will be Tangled. And that was not really of my own choice.
That was also a little later, I think, too. We were already like 11 years old when that came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still lots more to show you. Many
I'll be
Disney
doing this
movies.
For years. Oh, years,
yeah,
babies.
We're not going to run out of material. I'll have to think of another good one to show you. I guess we haven't done Beauty and the Beast yet, and you haven't seen that one, right?
I've seen the play, the children's version of the play. My brother was in it.
That might be up there then, because that's a pretty iconic classic, and I think you'd appreciate it. I mean, I think you'd appreciate just about all of these, but because you have an open mind. But maybe that's where we'll go next. We shall see.
I'll subject you to something next, also. Yay.
And I love that too. I love that we're showing each other movies because I think we each have something to teach the other. And I think that's wonderful. That's what true friendship
is. Incredible. Great ending.
No, not The Incredibles. We're talking about Mulan.
I've seen The Incredibles, so.
Thank goodness. At least there's that. But yeah, thank you all for joining us on this episode of Katie Watches Disney. We're going to pop back into our cartoon time machine and find another great Disney movie for Katie to watch as they find another foreign film for me to watch.
Woo!
Woo! I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and we will see you next time.